Yeah, so as I said before at the announcement, listen carefully, try to get at least a gist of what the message is about. Or, if you forget, read the story, because basically I'm going to tell you the story that's in Luke 15. It's really good. Especially, I'm going to focus on verses 11 through 32. So, if you want to just figure it out, that's where it is. So, two lost sons, which one are you? I'm sure many of you heard this story before, but many, many times, we talk about the youngest son. I want you to think about this. This is, if you look at verse 1 and 2, this is where it starts. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering to hear him. They came to him to hear him. Okay, so now Jesus is surrounded by tax collectors and sinners, probably prostitutes, I don't know, all these bad people. Who are the bad people in our days? Like IRS, right? Don't want to collect their taxes. But then the Pharisees today, modern times, is like the Christian or modern day, church leaders. They came and said, "This man, Jesus guy, I don't like him. He's telling me, or he's telling the churches, the temples back then, that we're doing everything wrong. I don't like this Jesus. Look at this Jesus. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. He welcomes these sinful prostitutes and tax collectors and all these, terrible people." So when Jesus talks about the story, he's talking to those two groups of people, the sinners, all right, the tax collectors, or people who are generally doing wrong, and the Pharisees, the teachers. Just think of them as modern-day Christians. Okay. And 이 두 명을 갖고 얘기하는데, 바리새인들과 죄인들을 같이 얘기하는데, 그들에게 얘기하는데, just think about it. He's saying both of them are wrong. See? You would like to think, one of them is better than the other, Many times we've heard 그 어린 아이들이, many times we've heard that the younger one is more righteous than the older one. Right? But they're both wrong. That's what Jesus is saying. 오늘 얘기할 때, I want you to identify yourself with the youngest son or the oldest son. 젊은 아들, 아들이나, 뭐, 큰 형이나. Try to picture yourself. See if you can relate to them. Alright, this title is the title on your NIV. Actually, I think in King James Version it says the prodigal son. On your NIV part it says the lost son, right? Prodigal, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. Prodigal, I have to look it up because I wasn't sure what that really meant. Rashly wasteful, extravagant. Giving or given in abundance, lavish, profuse. Somebody that overspends. Like, just using whatever they have, they don't save up, they just kind of use it up. I think the right title is lost, though. Lost. Not sure what he's supposed to do. Just goes on and just tries to use it up. I was watching South Park, and South Park, you guys know Eric Cartman? He's very famous for saying the words, "Whatever, I do what I want." You guys know that? I don't know. But I like that, because it's very insightful. Whatever, I do what I want. It's very insightful because I think that's what most of us do. Except we don't really say it that way, but I want to do what I want. Right? That's what the younger son did. Let me explain the story. So there was a father and two sons. Right? And the two sons, the older one, that doesn't come out till later on, but then the younger son says, Dad, I don't really want to live under you anymore. This is like, think about the Korean family, or I think Chinese families like that too, It's like very strict, you gotta obey your dad, you gotta, basically, there's a hierarchy, right? Hebrew times worse. It's like, if the son were to ever, say anything to the father, he has the right to stone him. He would take him out to the community because all the community is very tight. Take him out to the center of the community, everyone would stone him for disobeying the father. Okay? But the son, he's prodigal, right? I do what I want kind of guy. Hey dad, I don't want to be under you, Give me my share of my estate. And this estate is kind of like, when the father dies, it's retirement money, right? He's saying to the father, Dad, I don't care. Just die, you know. I just want your retirement. I don't really care much about you. I just want your money. All right, and then here's another twist to this story back in those days. The younger son really doesn't get much. Older son really gets really 90-95% of his days. Maybe the, you know, the father before he dies will give a little gift to the younger son. Younger son doesn't really have anything to receive from the father. So he says, well, Dad, give me my share. All right, and back in those days, just like now, I mean, you know, if you're a really wealthy person, what do you have a lot of? You know, where do you keep all your money? Do you keep it all in cash? You know, where do you keep it? Where do you keep your money? You know, we talked about this last time. You know, where do we keep our money? When we're really rich, you know, we're like Donald Trump or, you know, Bill Gates. What do we have a lot of? Assets, right? What kind of assets? Yeah, property, right? I mean, we could talk modern times like stocks, right? We have all those things. Back then, it was really property. Property and animals. But, you know, with animals, you know, as you grow more animals, you need more land. And back then, it was a community shared land. So whoever has the most land would be considered very wealthy. And his father, he was very wealthy. And then, but, you know, because the son all of a sudden wants money, what do you have to do? I mean, even nowadays, you know, if you're really rich and your dad, your son said, you know, give me 30% of what you have, what do you have to do? You have to sell your assets, right? So the father probably had to do that. So the father is actually losing power in his community. But he did it anyway. So he sold what he had, gave what he had, say, all right, son, you know, this is what you really want to do. All right, here it is. Then, if you read on, you know, actually, you could follow along with me, you know, verse 11 through, you know, 32. Look at verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, or whatever the father gave him, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and began to be in need. Kind of like the economy times now, right? We haven't really, you know, I mean, many of us are young, so there really wasn't much time to save up, but, you know, this guy, he just basically had something, he just kind of used it all up to do what I want, whatever I want, you know, right? So, you know, this younger one, he later on realized, you know, living away from my father, maybe that's not really it. Maybe I should go back to my father. Let's read on, verse 16. In verse 15, so he went, you know, he's hungry, right? He needs to get any kind of job he can. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Feeding pigs is the lowest of the lowest back then. He longed, verse 15, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He was so hungry, he couldn't make any money from that. He was so hungry, he tried to eat with the pigs, but no one gave him anything. And then verse 17, this is when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. So I was thinking, you know, maybe when I lived with my father, when I didn't have to do all this work, when I, you know, thought, you know, maybe I could make it better on my own. You know, I think it was better back then. My father took care of me. He had everything available for me. So, verse 18, he starts out, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. See, this younger son, this tax collector, this is the audience, right? The younger son is representing the tax collectors and sinners. It's representing those people that don't yet believe in Jesus. Those that have turned away from God, you know, that have come to church in the past and said, you know, I don't want to go to God anymore. So like we read in the fourth church laws, you know, God has a good plan for us. But then if we don't know, or the GPS concept, you know, God has a perfect destination for us. But if we're not sure, you know, where that is, then we're lost. Right? It's like the sun, we're lost. So he finally came to his senses and said, yeah, let's go back to the Father. So verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So this was his plan. So verse 20, he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. All right, I want to take a moment to pause right here. This son, okay, he's like, oh man, father's never going to accept me. I'm not even going to tell him I want to be a son. say, you know, make me like your hired servant. Just, you know, I don't know, just feed me, you know. You know, because my father is a rich guy, if he would even hire me as a servant, because servants get fed by the master, right? You know, I'll have plenty to eat. Think about it. This guy, he's like, oh, you know, whatever he has left, right? And goes home, right? And then this father, you know, what do you expect from him? You know, this father, he's running, charging after this guy, right? What do you expect this son to think? Oh, shoot, my dad's going to come kick my butt. Right? So then he comes running, charging, and then he hugs him. It's like, oh, no, I'm dead, right? You know, this is probably like the, when a dog, you know, when you come home and you have a dog and then he comes charging after you, like, you know, starts licking you, you know. I think that's like what it is. And then he fell on the floor because he, you know, it's like the dog that hit him with such powerful force. And I bet, you know, this is what I'm thinking, okay? I bet the son is probably like, you know, he's probably in like a half guard position, right? Like, you know, like, uh-oh, dad, help me. You know, what do I do? You know, and then the dad comes closer. What does he do? He kisses him. You know, he's thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get beaten. Then he goes back. Like, all right, okay, what do I do next? And he comes again, kisses him. That's what he says. Look at it, verse 20, right? And his father saw him and filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I'm telling you, you know, like, my son, I think he's going to be a UFC champion or something. Because, you know, I put him on the, I lay him down on this lay-down position, right? And he's ready to, he knows what I'm going to do. When I lay him down on his back, he knows I'm gonna go up to him and kiss him, right? He has his legs up, you know, so ready to defend. And then when I get close, he gets his arms up, and then he's like, slaps me away. Really does, like, even when I carry him on my arm, and then he's like always in the ready position because he knows I'm gonna go for him. I think this was it. You know, the son didn't expect this at all. He didn't expect the father to come and love him, just like that. He just went and spent all the father's. Father lost a lot of power in his community. And back then, you know, power was very important. Right? God lost, you know, this father, he, you know, lost money, lost land, lost power. The son, he goes away for, I don't know, many months, and then he comes back. You know, I think as a father, you know, sometimes we just want to beat that guy up, but, you know, the father doesn't do that. You know, I think, you know, this is just really goes back to, you know, Book of Genesis, you know, what God really wanted. And he wanted to have a relationship with Adam and Eve, right? But you know, that was his original intent. But, you know, that didn't happen because, you know, they started going their own way. You know, it was that fruit, you know, they could have had everything they wanted, you know, in that garden. Everything. They had all the animals, you know, all the fruits, all the trees, all the, you know, beautiful things. But they decided, you know, do what we want. I want to have that apple or that or whatever fruit it was. And, you know, I think, you know, I think God gave us the grace of letting us experience this kind of our emotion. We could have children, right? And though many of us are not fathers, we could train our children to obey us in everything we tell them to do. We could say, you know, we could say, go sit in your room, you know, we could give them no water, no drink, whatever, you know, just, I don't know, you do this, or, you know, you must obey me, solidly, you must obey me, if I tell you to go do that, you must do that. We could train our kids to do that, but really, what would we really want? We want our kids to want to do it, right? We don't want to force them to do it, but we want them to want to do it. We want them to love us, not be forced to obey us. I think that's really, you know, the correlation with what God wants in us. He doesn't want us to be forced. Like, that's why, you know, God doesn't, you know, go kill everyone that doesn't want to come to church or, you know. He wants us to come to Him. It's kind of like the lost son. The son went away, but he's not concerned about, you know, yeah, the father's always waiting outside, you know, when is it? I gotta come, I hope you will come, I hope. But he doesn't go chase after him and say, you know, come here, you're my son, you know, you must be in my house. He doesn't do that. I think it's just kind of like what we want. You know, do we want a relationship with our children, our future children? You know, think about if you can't relate to that, you know, try to think about our parents. Do you think your parents would want to have a relationship with you? Or would they want you to just be successful in your life? Like, imagine a scenario where, you know, where, let's say, my son, he grows up and he could become a billionaire. right? And I could help him to do that. So I send him out to become the billionaire, but he hates me. Or the opposite is, you know, he could just live like a normal, you know, difficult life, but he would love me. And, you know, we would be so tight. We would be very close. As a parent, what would you like? You know, I think that's what, you know, God, he doesn't want to ever force us to do these things. That's what this father's heart is about. Never wants to force us, but always waiting. You know, I wish he would come back. I hope he would come back. And then, let's continue reading. Alright, so verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's the funny thing. You know, if you look at verse 17 and 18, you see, he made a plan, right, as the younger son. You know, he's still not really fully repentant yet. He's fully not turned away yet because he had a plan. Yeah, you know, I'm hungry. So it's like if I went to my father and became a servant, I'd be able to eat something. Right? So he came with this plan. You know, father, just, you know, let me be used as your servant. But you see, now I think, you know, because his father loved him, I think that's what he's saying. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Now he's penitent. Initially, he just wants to be a servant and get something to eat. Right? But then he saw his father. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I mean, what would the father do? I mean, at this time, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, what the heck? You know, yeah, you're not. But, you know, maybe I'll let you in. Right? But look what he says. But the father said to the servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. You know what this is? He's being restored as a son. He's not saying, you know, son, you're going to pay me back for everything that, you know, you've taken away. You know, your brother and I, you know, we have to suffer. You know, we have to lose power in our community because of you, you know. I want you to pay off everything you spent, and then maybe I'll make you my son. He didn't do that. He said, you know, bring the best robe. It's going to be my son. You know, best robe. Who's the robe that's the best one in the household? The father's. And I want to put my robe on him. My son. So, you know, I think one thing that we could see from here is that the power of the love of Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything that you can imagine. You know, sometimes when we think like, oh, you know, I don't know, I've done such wrong, I'll never be forgiven. Or, you know, my life, my past life, I was a prostitute. I don't know, I was, you know, something. I'll never be able to be a Christian. I'll never be able to believe in Jesus. But there's nothing, you know, that the Father cannot do. He was able to give him the best robe, no matter what sin, what wrong he has done. God could get rid of all those wrongs he's done, change us. Alright, now here's another story. Starting from verse 25. It goes like this. Meanwhile, the older son, okay, remember the older son was talking to the modern day Christian, okay, Pharisees back in those days. And these are the biblical leaders, they're the people that are well versed in their Bibles, these are the theologians, you know, who've been to church all their life, you know, who've gone to every tegakido. This is them. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound. His older brother became angry and refused to go in. Think about why. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years, I've been slaving for you. Never disobeyed your orders. I did everything you told me to do. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could go celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. No, because the father is throwing this huge celebration. You know, if you look at verse 24 and 25, which I skipped over. He's throwing a big celebration for this young this son who has squandered everything. Verse 31, my son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again, so was lost in time. Alright, so if you look at the verses that we read, okay? He goes, all these years I've been slaving for you. Right? It's not really a relationship with the dad and son. Right? He's saying, yeah, you know, dad, I did everything you told me to do. You know, now I should get paid. This is like a salaryman, employee mindset. Not really a father and son. You know, really, it's the father is rich, the son is rich. And he's the older one who's going to get everything that the father has. Really, he shouldn't be thinking, you know, father, you know, why am I not getting paid? Just like the younger son. You see, he's another lost guy. It's just a little different twist, you see? He's also lost. He's thinking, yeah, you know, I've been doing all these things. You know, I've been going to all these hijabkido, you know, wake up early in the morning, come at like 5 in the morning and pray. You know, I went to every single small group meeting. You know, I went to, you know, every church service. You know, whenever Chandosanim or Muksanim said, you know, come to these meetings, I would go. You know, he's saying, I did all these things. Why am I not getting what this younger son got? See, he was self-righteous. I wonder if you could relate to that. You know, you've done all these things. You've been a kind person all your life. So why can't I call myself a Christian? You know, I've been nice to a lot of people. You know, I've helped the poor, the weak, or whatever. You know, why am I not such a hotshot? You know, why can't, you know, I want to call myself a Christian, and, you know, I want to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. You know, why can't I do that? Kind of like the mindset, I've been doing all these things. You know, I think if the way we think that way is, it really happened because of the way the secular world works. Like, in our workplaces, you know, what do we look for? Experiences, you know, your education. You know, they look for those, I guess, qualifications, right? But God is saying, you know, between father and son, all those don't really matter. All those don't really matter. You know, if you want to think of yourself as a worker, you know, fine. But, you know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve, right? You know, when Adam and Eve left from the garden, really, it's that, you know, they have to work their fields now to, you know, make a living. Kind of like that, you know, between father and son, and then now there's now, because of sin, you might have this worker mentality. You know, we must work, you know, work. If you work hard enough, we'll be accepted by God. But that's not what happens. Father accepts us, just the way we are. You know, I'm telling you, you know, we're going to have a lot of craziness in the future. You know, like, I'm going to see, like, Yuri, you know, she has to go take her major exam the next day, but she says, you know, I'm going to go to small group, because our small group's going to gather. You know, I'm going to have Jiyoung, she's going to say, you know, I'm going to take the train, come up all the way from Princeton, even if I have to, because, you know, I want to come to this, you know, we're going to go help the community, you know, we're going to go help the poor, things like that. You know, there's going to be things like that, you know, as we build in our ministry, there's going to be so many things we're going to do, and watch, we're going to see all these craziness. But I guess my question to you is, after you do those things, what we say, God, I did this now, you know, now I want you to bless me. God, I came to, you know, this meeting, even though the next day was the SAT, now, Father, you know, you owe me a good score on my SAT. You know, will you say that? So that's what this guy did, the older brother. It's like, if you don't give me this, I'm going to leave. That's probably the mentality of this old brother. Though it doesn't really say it that way. I'm leaving because I deserve it, you know? I did this. Now, I want to talk about grace. If you look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, you know, that's actually from our, um, our, sorry,